Could coronavirus lead to a global shortage of common painkiller medications? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivienne Nunes. Good morning. India has restricted the export of 26 drug ingredients and medicines because of the coronavirus. The country is the world's biggest supplier of generic drugs, including paracetamol, also known as acetaminophen. India's drug makers rely on China for almost 70% of the active ingredients in their medicines, but many Chinese manufacturers have shut down or cut output due to the outbreak of COVID-19. According to the Food and Drug Administration, India accounts for almost a quarter of medicines imported to the US. Madhavan Narayanan is an independent journalist based in New Delhi. He told me more about India's decision to limit drug exports.
India has established itself as a significant leader in the manufacture of generic drugs and takes on multinationals with its own copycat versions of off-patent drugs at affordable prices. Both the supply and prices are regulated by the government, and especially in emergencies such as this, the government invokes its own powers to do this. Therefore, it's a sort of a signal that drugs will not run short, but to minimize the panics, as it were.
So India is limiting the amount of medicines and ingredients used in medicines that it's exporting to make sure that there's enough for its own population.
Absolutely. There are on the one hand, export control orders. On the other hand, its own price control. And then you have supply issues because some of the ingredients might have to come from China.
Meanwhile, as COVID-19 spreads to more than 60 countries, the World Bank says it will make $12 billion available for developing countries to cope with the outbreak. The bank's president, David Malpass, said some of the money could be used to buy medical equipment.
For the poorest countries, it's grants, and there will also be loans. It depends on the different countries. The purpose is to support their needs and to try to reduce the transmission and provide care for patients as well.
The coronavirus may not have hit Africa as badly as other continents, but its impact is still being felt there. Africa-based airlines have so far lost $400 million since February due to COVID-19. It's common for traders from African countries to travel to China to buy goods to sell locally, while many Chinese workers are employed in infrastructure projects on the continent. Protests are planned in Nairobi today, demanding that the government stops all flights from China, although the High Court suspended flights from there last week. The BBC's Maggie Mutesi has more details.
Air Mauritius, Egypt Air, Rwandair and Kenya Airways have all suspended flights to and from China due to the outbreak. Speaking to BBC, the vice president of IATA said the impact of the disease will only get worse for African airlines, which last year posted losses of $100 million. So far, cases of coronavirus have been reported in Egypt, Tunisia, Morocco, Algeria, Nigeria and Senegal, although no African nation has suffered a major outbreak.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets were mixed as investors digested the Federal Reserve surprise interest rate cut. Markets in Frankfurt and London have opened higher, building on gains in Shenzhen and South Korea, but Hong Kong's main share index closed lower. New data showed business activity in Hong Kong last month plummeted to its lowest level on record. To China now, where the coronavirus crisis is now more than 2 months in. The outbreak caused a shutdown of huge swathes of the country that has hit the economy hard. Larger corporations with deeper pockets may be able to ride out the storm better than small family-run businesses. Many of those say they're struggling to stay afloat due to the restrictions on opening hours and a sheer lack of customers. Donning a face mask, the BBC's China correspondent, Stephen McDonnell, took to the streets of Beijing to see how shopkeepers are faring.
Welcome to Beijing subway. The station has been disinfected. Please wear a mask.
Heading out to do some shopping in the Chinese capital, there are reminders everywhere of the coronavirus emergency, especially on public transport. Then, when you arrive at your destination, there's not a lot to buy.
We haven't found a single shop that's open yet in this street. Hang on, this is a shop open.
Small corner shops are keeping communities fed. Ask a shopkeeper selling fruit and other basic food if the coronavirus has had a big impact on her business, and she nods. Rent's expensive here, she tells me, adding that there are none of the normal customers around from outside Beijing. A few dozen metres up the road, a man is working in a bakery which has the door closed. but he's selling pastries through an open window to people passing by. People are not eating in, but they're buying food to take away, he tells me. So maybe not such a massive impact on his business, I ask. There is some impact, he says. I wouldn't say none. The one place that feels like something approaching normal, in terms of crowds at least, is the supermarket. A scan on the way in, and as long as you don't have a temperature, you're soon pushing a trolley around a huge food barn amongst the masked crowd. Yet for many businesses, it's already been too long without revenue. In Beijing, I'm the BBC's Stephen McDonnell for Marketplace.
And don't forget, you can listen to a podcast of this program, The Marketplace Morning Report, wherever you find your podcasts online, including iTunes and Stitcher. In London, I'm Vivienne Nunes with The Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.